Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast. Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Happy Christmas Eve for those people who are celebrating. And for people like me and Sarah, happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Christmas because of Kwanzaa.
What's that holiday in Seinfeld that everyone always talks about?
I don't know.
Festivus. I don't either, but everyone's always like, that's what people say when it's the holiday season and they don't know what to say, I guess.
Oh, that's interesting. Never heard of that before.
But apparently,
sorry to interrupt you.
No, please. I wasn't going to say anything important.
Apparently, I look like Elaine from Seinfeld. That's what everyone tells me.
No. I mean, you have dark curly hair and you're white. That's literally it. Like, that's the only resemblance that I see.
I don't know what people are talking about then.
I think she's very beautiful.
Thank you.
But you don't ever wear your hair in that, like... You know,
I mean, it's a different style. Maybe I'm the 2019. What's her name? Elaine.
Yeah.
Elaine.
Lelaine from Lizzie McGuire.
Lelaine. Oh, I forgot about her.
Miranda. Her name was Lelaine.
Lelaine. Right.
So today we wanted to talk about music, and we could probably do like a whole separate podcast about
music. Yeah, we could literally have a podcast about music. And just to clarify, this isn't the same thing as our Stanhood episode.
No, it's not.
Because Stanhood, yes, both of ours had to do with music, but being a stan is much different than just enjoying some tunes.
Oh, I completely agree. And we would both say, and we'll get into it, but we would both say probably that, you know, Kanye and the Jonas Brothers have helped us with our mental health. But there are so many other artists and songs that have gotten through us through some challenging times. And we can kind of talk about that a little bit. So first, we should definitely do Peak and Pit of the Week. Do you want me to go first?
Yes, please.
I feel like I never go first. So my pit is glaringly obvious. This weekend I was coming home on a Sunday night, and it was a very Sunday-y Sunday, and I was on the bus and there was so much traffic coming into New York from Philadelphia, and I started to like freak out and have not a panic attack but like a freak out like attack, because I was able to breathe, but I was just like, I just started crying because I was just scared. I was having really bad Sunday scaries and just feeling really upset, and I got off the bus and I had to like figure out how I was going to get home. It was so cold and I just wasn't really doing well, and I called my mom, and I feel bad because I think sometimes it's hard to call people in your life that you love when you're going through a hard time, because they love you so much that like they start to feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was really helpful to me, so I was very thankful for that, but it was really hard because I knew that like calling her would make her feel upset that I was upset.
I hear that.
Yeah. So the peak, though, well, I had a few, but today I got tickets to the Kanye West opera on Sunday. And I don't want to talk too much about it yet because like it hasn't happened. And, you know, I'm superstitious. We're superstitious here at the It's Fine, I'm Fine mm-hmm. podcast. But I have tickets in my hand and I'm just really, really excited for them. Yeah,
that's amazing. And just again, tying it back to the Stanhood episode, if you know Liz, you know that tickets to see Kanye in real life is incredible.
It is a dream.
It's the dream. Yeah. So very happy for you.
Thank you so much.
My pit, I would say, is that I'm just really going through it right now. You know, I'm just going through it. I think it's like a mix of the weather and work. And it just feels like there's a lot going on. And I'm just very ready for the break coming up. So very excited for that. And my peak of the week was that I went to Jingle Ball. I actually got tickets for free.
For free?
Through my gracious and wonderful friend Alana Dunn. She got tickets through work, and she invited me. And then we had another free ticket because Alana got four.
Mm-hmm.
And I invited Alana Paris, our momager. And, you know, I would say probably the highlight of the night. This might sound a little different coming from me.
I love different.
But my peak of Jingle Ball was not even the Jonas Brothers performing, because we were so high up that, like, to me, it's like, obviously, of course, it's incredible to see them every time. But the peak of the night was really like we didn't know a lot of the artists performing. Mm-hmm. Like, we had heard of them, but, like, we weren't big fans.
Right.
So at one point, can you give me an example? Like, Fletcher and Monta something.
Okay.
Like, there were just, like, a few artists in the middle that mm-hmm. we didn't know. Mm-hmm. So we went, we got like huge plates of chicken fingers, French fries and Nutella balls. And we went back to our seats, which was like literally the 200 section. We were like, we could see the last row behind us. Mm-hmm. And we just like sat in our seats and ate our food and yeah. just like watched. And we were like having conversations.
I love
like,
that.
It was so fun. We were like. Like, even, like, Niall Horan, whatever his last name.
Niall Horan.
Niall Horan. Like,
the forgotten one.
He was, like, on stage performing. And we were, like, love this song. While we were, like, mid-convo eating our chicken fingers. And he's just on stage performing. Like, it was just so fun and so chill. And I didn't feel this, like, intense pressure to, like, scream and dance totally. The whole night. Especially because they were free. I was like, right. I don't need to be jumping the whole night. I'm just going to enjoy this.
Totally.
And it was honestly, it was truly the peak of the week. But, of course, seeing the Jonas Brothers was, of course, a highlight. But I would say the peak of the week, especially after enduring a pretty tough work situation right before the show, which was part of my pit.
Yeah.
The peak was really just being able to, like, chill with my friend, eat some good food, and watch some cool performers.
I love that for you. I also know that concerts for you and for me, but a little less, are very like, it's work. It's fun, but it's work. Like, you mm-hmm. need to be like screaming because you want to be maximize tired. Your fun. So yep. the fact that you were able to like sit down and just enjoy good music because the tickets were free, because it was such a long concert, is like really.
It started at 7 and we left at midnight.
I love that. And I totally get it. I remember last year, my roommate Julia took me to a concert in maybe Prospect Park somewhere in Brooklyn, and it was a low-key band. I honestly can't remember who it was, but we just like had a picnic and listened to music. The tickets were like, well, she paid for them, but they were like $25.
Amazing.
And you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, we are so into music, which is exactly what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But sometimes like we forget what music is for, you know what I mean? I mean, it is for like fun and singing and screaming.
Right.
But sometimes it's nice to just have like a vibe going.
Totally.
I love that.
And I'm really excited for this episode.
I don't know what that was.
I'm just like really excited for this episode because music, I think, to both of us just like means so much. And yeah. music is one of those things where with a song can come so many memories, so many emotions, so many feelings, either good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I can think of so many different experiences in my life where music was part of the experience or helped me through the experience or whatever. We'll get into it, but like I didn't even prepare for this episode, and just now I'm thinking about like, even like I went to Lollapalooza, that was an experience in itself with music. Like, I was backstage for Casey Musgraves,
right.
and like that was like me crying backstage being like always the rainbow. But anyways, you take the wheel. The moral of the story is that I'm getting excited.
You're getting
for this
excited.
Episode.
We like picking topics that are easy for us to talk about, and we're very easy talkers anyway. But
well, I would disagree with that.
Well,
there are sometimes we like
picking topics that we have things to say about.
Agreed.
But yeah, some of the things we talk about are very, very hard to talk about. And like the imposter syndrome episode, for instance, was really hard. But it's a topic that we enjoy talking.
Right. Yeah.
So
because it's like therapy.
It is like therapy.
Like, I love therapy.
It's like a concert. When you go to a concert, sometimes it's like really hard because you're like on your feet the whole time and screaming. But it makes you feel really good. And like yeah. the end result is a good one. That's sort of like how we are with our topic picking.
Exactly. I didn't mean to just be like, I disagree.
No. That was a really good point. And that's, you know, we gotta have a little rapport.
A little banter.
A little banter. So
guys, I love Liz. Just looking at her. She's
oh
so cute.
God, thank you so much, Sarah. Wow. Where do I
okay. where do we go
just,
from
like, put
here?
Me on the spot. I'll do a performance. Anyway, no. Okay, where do I begin? No, I think what you were saying about the way music like evokes a feeling for you, that's something that's always been really important to me. And something I find interesting about myself is that I can't just start liking any artist. Like if you, I love you and I love Chris and I love all these people. And if they were like, hey, you should listen to this, I'd be like, no.
I'm the same way.
Because I need to have an association with the music to like it. It can really be anything. Like, I remember one time on The Breath, someone came on and they had a guest sing, like, cover a Maren Morris song. And I was like, I love the way that sounds. And so I started to listen to Maren Morris and like her. Kanye West, I sort of told my origin story. I don't know. I could think of like a million other people who the way I was introduced to them was about the moment in my life and not about the artist and their message.
Right.
And of course, I grow to love the artist and their message. But I can't just like, you can't just like pop a band or a musician in my lap, their name, and I'll start listening to them and like them. Like, that's not how it works.
It's happened a couple times for me, but like rare, and probably, you're right, probably because the what was happening at the moment was like significant to me. For example, like there's a French singer called Stromae. He's like huge in France, and I love his music and I love him. And I'll never forget my cousin, we were in the car together in France like years ago, and he was like, have you heard this guy? And I was like, no. And he played it in my ear, and it's like, yeah, maybe he just happened to like show me the song in that moment, and I was like, oh, this is pretty good. But like, I'll never forget that my cousin, who I never see in France, and I love him, we're so, so close, was like, you should listen to this song. And it was just like a French song. It all tied in together, the emotional feeling of like coming together with my cousin.
I completely get that. And like, so one artist that I love is Shaky Graves, and it's a guy who, he's like a one-man act, and he is, if you plucked me off a street, like I would not be his target demo.
Right.
He's very like folky rock, like alternative. And I saw him with my best friend Madison in Denver at Red Rocks, and ever since then I just have this association of being like, wow, like this sounds so good and the vibes are so good and it's
so
beautiful.
She brought you to the concert?
Yeah. I mean, Dr. Dog was playing too, and they're my favorite. Well, them too. Like, I'm not their target demo, but I associate them with like Philly and Chris and his family. So it's just funny. Like, sometimes the musicians that I like are like random to other people. Like, I love Luke Combs. I ordinarily wouldn't love country, but I associate him with Camp Toast and like that fun vibe. So some like, I think I have eclectic taste, but I also can't just like anyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so music is meaningful to me, but the way that I get to musicians sometimes has to do exactly with the feeling and not with the musician.
I think you're spot on. I remember Maren Morris, I was actually late to the game. I was obsessed with the song The Middle. Mm-hmm. I loved that song, and I was like, who sings this? And my roommate Laura was like, she was like, oh, that's Maren. We were watching the Grammys and Maren Morris sang with Taylor Swift, and that No.
I don't remember, but no, that sounds right to me.
Maybe not. Maybe Maren Morris sang with someone at the Grammys one year. Mm-hmm. And Laura was like, that's the girl that sings The Middle. And I was like, she's incredible.
Yeah.
And Laura was like, yeah, she has all these other songs. And I actually never really listened to the other songs, but that was like the first memory I have, like Maren Morris, good singer in my head, connection with Laura, one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Then Alana Paris invited me to the Maren Morris concert with you guys. Mm-hmm. And she was like, it's relatively cheap. So I bought the tickets, and then Alana was like, here's the playlist. And I was like, I know I like Maren Morris. I know she's good, but I don't really know her music that well. Mm-hmm. And then Alana was like, listen to the playlist. We're going to the concert. And that's when I started listening to the music, and I was like already envisioning us together at the show.
Yep.
And then I was like, this is the best music. And then like at the show, of course I knew every word and I was obsessed, but it's like everything is a journey. You know, it's not also like another song, for example, that I'm like randomly obsessed with. Don't even know who sings it. Don't know anything about the artist, but like I heard it in a yoga class, and just in that moment, this was one of the rare moments where like I heard a song and immediately I was like, I love this song.
Yeah.
I was in a yoga class and I heard the song and I was like, what is this? This is incredible. And then
I have to know what it is.
And I went on Spotify and found it. I literally, the lyrics are, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. And I typed that into Google until I found it.
What is the song?
It's like, it's called State Lines.
Okay.
It's like a random song.
It was on some yoga teacher's playlist.
Yeah.
No, but
I had to go into Spotify. I Googled, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Obviously, that's like typing into Google, nah, nah, nah. Like,
right.
It doesn't work.
Totally.
And then I went on to Spotify. I searched the yoga. I had to go into my yoga my yoga app, find who my teacher was, go on Spotify, try and find her full name, found her playlist, found her yoga playlist, then went in the order of the class. And I remember what pose I was in. And then I found the song. So that's a rare case. But
that is
it
really
does happen
funny.
To me sometimes.
No, but that's amazing. And it makes me think of how, like, when our parents were growing up or our grandparents, music was so much more like of a group activity than it is now, I think. Like, it was like we buy a record and we all play it.
Yeah.
And I kind of I always hate when the generation above us or our generation talks about the next generation in a negative way. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, they don't know anything. And it's like, no, we have a very different relationship with music, and our relationship is awesome. Like,
right.
We get to share it collaboratively. We get to see what other people are listening to. But the great thing about our parents' generation was like, they all loved this music at once. And it was like what the thing was.
And they had to listen together. They didn't have individual players.
Exactly. So I think both are good. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. It's also funny because actually.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's actually funny because speaking of the new generation, like TikTok is all about videos.
Yep.
But like such a big part of TikTok is the trending songs.
Music, I know.
And it's like I actually learn about what the big songs are on. It's probably a cycle. Like the songs get bigger because they're on TikTok, but the TikTok songs are the biggest songs right now. Exactly. And I learn about songs by going on TikTok and like you click use this sound and you look at the sound that someone just used for their video and there's like thousands of videos and everyone's recreating videos based on the same music. So people really do come together. And at Jingle Ball, I did one of the TikTok dances to one of the songs and there were like 12 year old girls behind me and they were like, let's do it together.
What, are you doing Renegade or something?
Yeah,
else?
Renegade.
I was going to say, I also, what I love about TikTok too is it's taking old songs and like reintroducing
like,
them
fly
to kids.
Fly me to the moon.
Or Gimme Some, you know, the Beyonce song and obviously American Boy. And I love that they do that because I just hate the complex of like, well, I knew that song before you did. No, I like that these kids are like now hearing the music that we loved in a new way.
Same.
It's introducing
like,
it to them. It's Frank like Sinatra what Glee remix. Was for us.
Totally. Yeah. Oh my God. That's brilliant.
Thank you. That's really an idea that comes from Alana Paris because she's always like, I would never have known this Queen song were it not for Glee.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually grew up to Queen surprisingly.
Me
but
too. Well, Alana's uncultured swine. I'm just kidding. We love you, Alana. No, that was a bad example. Like, I'm sorry, but I honestly didn't know. I knew Michael Jackson songs, but I didn't know they were Michael Jackson songs. And Glee was a really good way that I learned, like, oh, Pretty Young Thing is like an era of Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. Like when I was growing up, it was just a song that played in stores.
Got it. So I have an older brother that went through a Michael Jackson phase.
Interesting.
Like redid the dances to a T.
Wow.
Yeah. So I definitely knew a lot. But anyway, music is definitely like has such a strong emotional tie. But I also, I don't know if I'm like jumping around, but
no,
I also want to
jump around.
Jump around. I'm keeping that in.
What does that remind you of?
Glee?
Jump around.
Jump around.
It reminds me of the scene in Mrs. Doubtfire when Sally Fields comes home and Robin Williams is throwing the kids a party and it's like,
that's so funny.
See, every like music has an association in my brain. It might not have even been that song. No, it was that song because I remember them all like on the table and she walks
you're
in
right.
And she's like, oh,
you're
like,
right.
What's going on?
It's so funny. I think of such different music when I think of Mrs. Doubtfire. But now that I think
it was a run by fruiting.
Sugar in your tea, dear.
Oh, dear. Sugar in your tea.
You're good at it.
Thank you.
So, not to jump around, but like music, how to say this? I learn about music through people. No. Rewind.
Wicked.
What I'm trying to say is, what kind of music do you listen to in what kind of situation?
Oh.
So for me, and not to get too spiritual,
please.
But
please
when
do.
I'm when I like in most in recent months, when I'm going through a tough time, I have been trying to connect more to my religion because it helps me find purpose and it helps me find a reason for the tough time. So that's been a new thing that I've been trying out in the last like 6 months, I would say, just, you know, because of our friends and because of the classes mm-hmm. that we go together. But yeah, it's something I really try and do. So when I'm going through a tough time in recent times, I've actually been turning to Jewish music.
Mm-hmm.
So like Omer Adam is like a huge one for me.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of our friends, which reminds me of like us coming together and being like, there has to be a reason for this, or like think about whatever, like the spiritual reason. So like it makes me emotional when I'm like sad and I listen to Omer Adam because like it just brings back a lot of like it comforts me in a way, but it also allows me to feel my feels. It's just a ton of emotions all together, you know. It's like spiritual emotion and like thinking about my friends, thinking about my family, and then it makes me think about like the history of my people. Like it's a whole thing. And it ends up being so much more emotional than I even intended it to be, but it comforts me in that way because it allows me to take my tough times and makes me think of like so many deeper things and also allows me to be grateful for what's in my life. I just like kind of rambled, but
no, I completely agree. And I have a somewhat similar experience with Hebrew music, which is like, it just makes me feel like a kid sort of, because I just remember listening to it in synagogue when I was a kid and with my mom. And so I have a very similar connection to it because I feel the same way about it, like connects me to Judaism, but it also connects me with a feeling that I can't really access now, which I totally understand. I think I've talked a little bit about how when I'm sad, I can't listen to happy music and be like, yeah, like when I'm sad, I don't listen to like pump up music to try and make myself feel better.
Imagine crying and listening to "Because I'm Happy, Clap Along If You Feel."
Or it would literally "Wear the Hood, Wear the Hood, Wear the Hood." At like you're listening to DMX all of a sudden because you're like, I need to like snap out of it.
No, I can't do that.
I need to listen to sad music because I want to like feel. I think there's a sense of companionship in music. Like listen to what this person is saying, and I can feel it with them. It's the same reason we try and talk about these things on the podcast. Like if we talked about happy things all the time, people who would be going through sad things would be like, I can't listen to this because I can't relate to it. That's how I feel about listening to sad music when I'm sad. It helps me because I feel a sense of camaraderie with the person singing.
Totally. That's why I love breakup playlists.
Yeah, me too.
Like when I was going through my breakup last year, I could not listen to people that were happy singing about their happy relationships. I was like, I need to hear "So Much for My Happy Ending."
Yeah. Whoa. Oh my God. I was waiting. I was like, I'm going to do it. She's going for it. Okay.
You when you're done. No, what is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know the verses of the song.
You got your dumb friends and know what they say. They tell you I'm difficult, but so are they. Don't leave me hanging. Okay, I'm done.
Okay.
Sorry.
Oh, Avril.
Love her. She died.
Rest in peace.
Oh my God.
It's Melissa. I was like, I wonder if Sarah's going to be like mad at me for saying this. Like, is it morbid to talk about how Avril Lavigne died?
If you don't know about the conspiracy theory, please go check it out. It's hysterical. And Avril commented on it recently.
You mean
someone was like, you know that people think you died and like some chick named Melissa replaced you? And she goes, yeah, I don't really understand that. Okay, Melissa. It's like, okay, boomer. Okay, Melissa.
Yeah, you wanted to listen to breakup playlists when you were sad because you wanted the camaraderie. One of my favorite people to listen to when I'm experiencing, like, honestly, depression, like when I feel really down is Kid Cudi, because his whole brand, honestly, is about his struggles with mental health and how he's just constantly had a battle, like, with his own brain. And he has a lot of songs about it. And obviously, he's a close friend of Kanye, Omari West, but that's a different story.
What's his middle name?
Omari.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like Kapari. Speaking of Kapari,
no, sponsor us. I wish. But yeah, so he writes a lot of music that's not happy. Like it's very sad and he hums a lot and he's kind of like just trying to figure it all out. And he's like,
That's why that meme was like little millennial, depressed millennials. And then it was like Kid Cudi humming.
Yeah.
I didn't get the meme. Now I get it.
Like that's how a lot of his songs go.
Oh wow.
But yeah, his music isn't happy, but I like it because it helps me.
Totally. And not to mention, but like they also write music and produce music and develop it based on how they're feeling. So it's not just like some made up thing that is like supposed to help other people. It's like this podcast. We are speaking about our experiences in hopes that other people will relate and feel comfort in knowing that they're not alone. And I think music does the same thing. There's a song called Anxiety. Selena Gomez sings
Julia Michaels, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's when I heard the lyrics for the first time, I was like, I've never heard a song so accurately depict how I'm feeling.
That's how I feel about happy and sad. And I know a lot of people say that, but I actually do feel that way of when I start to get really excited for something, I'm like, oh no,
because
it's going to go away or it's fake or, you know, it's like imposter syndrome sort of. That's what happy and sad represents to me.
That's how I feel a lot of the time.
But we can talk about how different songs
Oh,
like we can talk about specific songs if you have any in mind. Let me look at
I mean, that song Anxiety really gets me. I mean, the Jonas Brothers, like, of course they, the Jonas Brothers, like when I listen to their music, not only do I love their music, but it brings me back to a more childlike time, childlike behavior. Remember that?
Yes.
So like listening to them puts me in a lighter mood because it reminds me of a simpler time.
There are some obvious ones, like if you listen to the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack, it's sort of, it's about
that one used to make me cry all
mental
the
health
time.
And social anxiety, and that's like that's very that's a very obvious yes. choice. But then there's songs like I have let's see, this song, do you know the song Samson by Regina Spektor?
No, but I do love her.
I only know her because of 500 Days of Summer, because I was an angsty tween. And,
same.
But really, like,
I knew
I
before,
said I was angsty, but I was watching 500 Days of Summer, which was, like, a very popular movie.
Yeah.
And her songs were on the soundtrack, and I remember being like, I'm so emo and alternative, but really, like, she's very popular. But that's how I feel about her music. It's, like, just calming and
yeah,
soothing to the ears.
One song that I find, I don't know if, so John Mayer, I've been a huge fan of John Mayer for mm-hmm. a long time. Like I since sixth grade, I would say, is when I really started loving him. I saw him in eighth grade in concert. Like I really love John Mayer. What?
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking of like John Mayer songs and I'm laughing. I don't know. Like Gravity.
They're like kind of sad.
No. Like I love John Mayer, but he has such a, like a make fun of a bull. Like voice, not because I genuinely love him, but it, he just is so specific that it's easy to like
Gravity,
right? No, like he just like is like that's how he sounds.
Interesting. Never thought about it that way.
In a fun way though, like love him, but he's just funny.
So John Mayer, I've always loved him, and John Mayer has been, his music has been there for me in various different situations, like various situations. Mm-hmm. When I was a sophomore in college, I dated this guy and like we loved John Mayer together, so like he played a big role in our relationship.
Yep.
And then we broke up and I couldn't listen to him for like 6 months.
Yep.
And then I started listening again and it was a different point in my life, so then it meant something different then.
I totally
and
get
like
that.
I remember when I first started liking him was in sixth grade when Waiting on the World to Change first came out, and mm-hmm. like that reminds me of that year. But there's one song in particular that when I first heard it, it made me really upset because I was going through some relationship issues mm-hmm. when it came out. Mm-hmm. And it made me really sad because the song is called Emoji of a Wave.
Hmm. Okay.
And when it came out, I was going through relationship issues, and some of the lyrics made me really upset because it was like, it was about a couple fighting, basically. Mm-hmm. And it was saying, it's just a wave. And then I kind of reframed the lyrics in my brain to be about my anxiety instead. And I remember I was trying to connect with my ex about it, and he just like wasn't getting it. I was like, don't you feel like this song is really like pertinent? Like I was like, doesn't it like, isn't it? It meant so much to me at the time because I was like, this song just like, this is like how I feel. Like this is really like how I feel with you, how I feel with my anxiety. Like it's just a wave and just hold on. Like we'll get through it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, just not, he was like, yeah, okay, sure. And so then I was kind of like, okay, he's not getting it. So I'm going to really make this like my own thing. Like I'm not going to tie this to him because I want to be able to keep this after we break up. Because mm-hmm. at that point, it was clear. So I tied that into my anxiety. And I was like, regardless of whether another person can connect with me on this or not, like I'm going to take this and run with it. So it started as a song that I tied in with my ex. But then I realized that it was kind of like my own personal thing. And so I feel like that song really helps me because I kind of interpreted the words to be for myself.
Yeah.
So sometimes, and I think that's what music is about. Like you don't, not every song is going to be like exactly what you're going through. But if you can take the lyrics and kind of apply them to your own life, it makes them that much more special. So like for this one, I think he was talking about a relationship, but I'm talking about my anxiety. Like it's just a wave and I'm just going to hold on. Like I know, and I know when it comes, I'll just hold on, you know, and yes. we'll get through it. So that's how I feel about that song, and I really recommend it. It's free promotion for John Mayer. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, John. I feel like he would like our message. Like he's really rebranded himself totally. In a very good way.
Totally.
But I feel very, well, the way you were talking about how you felt one way about music because it was you're going through it at a bad time, and then you like repurpose the music to make it good. That's how I felt about Channel Orange with Frank Ocean. Like, mm-hmm. Chris and love I used to album. Listen to it all the time when I would visit him in Pittsburgh, because that's when it was like really popular. And then I would leave and I couldn't listen to it like alone, because it made me so sad about leaving. And now I love it again, because like I don't have to do that trip anymore. And it's an amazing album.
It is. That reminds me of freshman year of college.
Yeah, no, Frank is
Frank he's, is he's special. A
good yeah. mental health
oh yeah.
Like advocate singer. Like, I mean, we need more music from him, but I think that's the appeal too. He is so talented, but I think he's one of those people, it's like the less music we get from him, the better it is, because mm-hmm. it's like rare currency. It's right. like Adele is the same way. We really only have three Adele studio too. Albums from her, and when you think of people like, sorry that these are the people that are coming to my brain, but the Jonas Brothers, Kanye West, Taylor Swift, like they have a lot of music, like a yeah. large discography, and that we love them. So that's not, it's not like a good,
it's not a problem.
It's not a good correlation. But my point is just like sometimes like Adele is so sweet because we only have like, right. I don't know, 30 songs from her max.
Right.
So I think that that's, yeah, there's so much that goes behind music besides like the music itself. Sometimes I find, I realize that I'm not even listening to the music, the lyrics of so much of the music that I love. Of course I have songs like Emoji of a Wave for You where I know all the lyrics and what they mean, mm-hmm. but sometimes I listen to songs and I just sing so loudly and love them so much, and I don't even know, like the intention it's of the artist may not have been right. what I'm feeling from the song, you know what I mean?
Right. So for example, like someone's talking about heartbreak and you love the song and you're jamming out to it, but you're not going through that at all. You're not even thinking about the words. You're just like, I'm loving singing it because right now singing it in this moment with is like fun, and maybe it brings you back to like a fun time for you, or I don't know. Is yes. that what you're saying?
No, that is 100% what I'm saying. And then there's songs that's like, you find out what the meaning of the song was, and you're like, oh, that's not like really what I associated with the song.
That's like this weekend, Camila Cabello at Jingle Ball was singing Never Be the Same. And I made a TikTok video. It got like 27,000 views. So it must be like getting up there.
It's a popular theory.
I mean, I just never realized. That she's literally drugs. Talking about hard drugs. Like nicotine, morphine, like she.
I thought the point of the song was like she's comparing.
It's a metaphor.
Right.
To a relationship.
Right. So to me, the hard drugs part was obvious, but you just didn't realize because you were so like.
I didn't realize how. I guess I also hadn't heard the song in a really long time, and just hearing her be like in my veins or whatever. Right. Like. This is like a lot more like
graphic like, than you thought.
Yes.
Totally. Because all you hear on the radio is like nicotine. And you're just not thinking about it. But then when you hear it, you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, this yeah, is yeah. Like deep. Some of the lyrics are like, took it. Like, I don't even know. But I was like, this is like little kids are singing this song. And it was just a little like, I was a little shook. You know, I was kind of like, whoa, what is the song about again? Like, what am I singing? Sometimes you just learn lyrics and you sing them and then you're like, what did I just say? Like, I just said I'm gonna take the needle and put it in my veins.
Right.
Like, what? That's like when I'm with my mom and I'm like, actually, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah, it's funny because I know that probably me and you and a lot of young women have that connection with Taylor Swift too. Like, I remember listening yeah. to Red, and someone actually DM'd us about this, so it can be a nice transition to what the listeners told us. But I remember listening to Red with that same friend Madison, who I saw Shaky Graves with in the summer. Me, her, and our counselor, Maddie, driving to get ice cream, like listening to Red literally in the Berkshires. So beautiful. Like just the windows rolled down, like us screaming All Too Well. And I know so many people feel that way about that song. Because it's just, I don't know that album could come out today and hit us all the same way. It's a beautiful.
It's about the time in your lives. It's
truly
saying?
Like it hit us all when we were 15, 16, 17, going through stuff with boys, with ourselves. And it's just like, I mean, it's a beautifully composed album. And I think it's lyrically like her best one. But I just also really associated it with a moment in history.
It's so interesting because to me, when you said Taylor Swift, like I was not expecting you to say Red.
Really?
For me, the album that hits me hard with Taylor is 15 or Fearless. Sorry. Yeah. It's Fearless, but specifically the song 15.
Yeah.
Like to me, that was, those songs on Fearless were like really pivotal years in my life.
Yes.
Like high school, first crushes, first boyfriends, first like getting in the car, squealing, not sure, friends are being mean. Like to me, that was like the album.
Right.
So what you're feeling about Red and All Too Well is what I felt about Fearless. And like I went to, I think two Taylor Swift concerts that year that the album came out.
Wow.
I was so obsessed with like what she was going through because it was kind of the same thing I was going through. She's only 5 years older than me.
Oh my God. That blows my mind.
Why?
Because you feel my, you feel my age even though you're two years older than me. And she,
does she feel a lot older than you?
She doesn't. No, because when I realized she was 30, I was like, what? But then at the same time, it's like she has lived so many lives. Right. So I'm like, she's 85. Like she has had so many eras. How is she only 30?
Right. That's true.
But we got some great DMs from our listeners about how music has helped them. We're trying to engage our audience a little bit more and hear some of the things that heal you. Because I think last week I was really inspired when Cameron was talking about one of her anxieties and I had never heard of it before. And I was like, wow, even though Sarah and I are doing
totally,
our best to like
either
have a conversation, we want to talk about things that maybe like aren't coming from us. And so I think a good way to do that is to, you know, bring in some DMs from listeners.
Absolutely. I want to hear more from our listeners.
Someone named Dallas said, oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine a life without music. I'm always listening to something, literally from the time I wake up to the time I go to sleep. My most prized possession is all my Spotify playlists. I work way too hard on them. And concerts are where I feel my absolute best. Can't wait for the episode. Amazing. I relate to this, and like it's just like what me and Sarah were saying. I work on my playlist and I try to curate a vibe. We work on concerts.
Yeah.
Like we try to listen to the music before. We try to like get up close to the people because we want to curate that like unbelievable
experience.
Not mimicable experience.
Yeah, totally. I think this is weird, but, and I think some of our listeners might relate, mm-hmm, might not. I used to listen to music a lot more than I do now. Mm. And I think part of the reason why I don't is because sometimes it can be like triggering for me.
Yes.
And sometimes certain songs, even if they're happy songs, like we were saying, like make me sad when, yep, I'm not even sad in that moment.
I totally get it.
So sometimes like that's why I've turned to podcasts more.
Yep.
And like I will literally just play like five, like some, I don't watch the Toast live, so sometimes I'll just listen to five Toast episodes in a row at work because I rather listen to like women like me talking as opposed to like getting triggered by a song. I love music so much, like it's music has been a part of like all the important moments of my entire life, and like I've been to over 200 concerts in my life.
There you go.
But and same with musical theater. I love musical theater. I go to Broadway shows all the time. But like sometimes I think, I mean, not to deflect from this person.
No,
who wrote
this is
in,
all about like what experiences are for different people.
Yeah, I really respect people that can listen to it all day because I really love music. But sometimes it's like hard for me.
I actually completely understand, and I think both of us, relative to other people, still listen to more music than a lot of people. But sometimes when I'm alone in my apartment, I can't listen to music because I need to have like voices to keep me company.
Yeah.
And while music can of course feel like that sometimes, I sometimes need to have people talking. So it's same, like people that are there.
Same.
So I completely get that. And also sometimes at work, I find myself not being able to either listen to music or listen to podcasts depending on like what I'm doing and what my mood is.
Yep.
So I do completely understand that. I also, it's so funny, I also respect that because I like wish I could do that. I want to know so much about music and, mm-hmm, take in so many artists and like, because if I ever want to go to a concert, like I concerts are my favorite thing. So the more music, same, I love, the more I can enjoy
the
concerts.
More, yep,
I mean,
same.
I need more money too, but
same,
sponsor us, yeah, at concerts.
And it might sound like Liz and I are like only obsessed with like the Taylors and the Jonases and the Kanyes of the world, but we're not.
No,
like,
you actually sometimes will come in with an artist and be like, have you guys heard of this? I'm like, no, you're so indie though.
I have a low-key obsession with indie music. It's,
no, that
really
makes sense,
weird,
to me.
Like that song that I was talking about earlier from the yoga class.
No,
like,
State Line or whatever it's,
yeah,
called.
State,
I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It's whatever. I indie music sometimes like really hits my soul.
Totally. I love that for you. Okay,
thank,
let's read another one.
Thank you so much.
The Red Album. The Red Album came out during, oh, this is from Sam. The Red Album came out during a breakup. We were dating all through high school and half of college. We are never getting back together one second and all too... Wait. Oh, we are never getting back together. One second and all too well, the next was the healing I needed to get through. Like empowering, but also allowed me to be sad when I was trying not to be. And belting it out just felt so good. That album will always be so special to me.
I totally get that. Totally agree.
It really just like captures like the moment in time thing that we were talking about, and how it's also like you could have been going through a sad time and then 4 years later you're able to listen to the album and reflect on the sad time positively.
Chef's kiss what you just said. Thank chef's
you.
Kiss
like you can you're like
wow, and that's happened to me a lot.
Yes. I love that about music, and it's like I don't know if other people feel the same way we do, but I don't necessarily, like we've been saying, I don't necessarily listen to sad music and feel sad. Like sometimes it's just, it's an indescribable relationship that you can have with a song that may have meant something different to the person writing it or the other person hearing it. But I love that she's saying like, it was a hard time for me, but now I kind of like, I reflect on it so positively.
It's so crazy how you can listen to a song and think back and just be like, I used to cry so much and now I'm not crying. And like that in itself, because of one song through so many years, can make you feel like appreciative and can make you feel like you've made so much progress. It's a great feeling.
I completely agree.
Also, before you read the next one, I also want to bring up Jeff real quick from our episode from two weeks ago. Like, music helped him in a different way because he's been making music.
Yep.
And like he said that before his accident, and if you didn't listen to this episode, please go back to
episode 15.
He said that before the accident, he had only done like a handful of songs, but after the accident, he really like dove into. He really like.
He divvied in. He dove.
Is that the word?
He dived. No, he dove. He dove in.
He really dove into his passion of music, and he ended up creating like over 100 remixes and produced so many songs on SoundCloud.
We put it in the episode.
We did. And it's just like that is so incredible how like music can not only help people and be there for people listening, but also making.
And he, when he was going through his physical therapy, there's that video of him playing that song on the ukulele from Blue Valentine. And it's like, there really is a science behind music and how it's in part of our brain that like words and other things aren't. So we can remember music even when we lose other parts of our brain. And I know that's
so interesting.
It is. It's really important too for, I know with Alzheimer's patients who can sort of like relate to music in the same way, even though they might lose other parts of themselves. And it's really difficult, but it's a good way that people can kind of communicate with each other.
It's also a good way to learn. Kids learn through music, like the ABCs. Can't say the ABCs like A, B. I mean, you can, but in your head, you're secretly going A, B, C.
You know they changed it? You heard this?
No. Why did they change it?
Because the LMNO was apparently confusing kids.
What?
They thought
Wait, they actually changed it?
They actually changed it. You should look it up after this.
I saw on TikTok a thing that was like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, hi, J, K, just kidding, LMNO, laughing my something off. Like it was like something ridiculous. I don't know why those things make me laugh.
No, they're funny.
Or like there was like a sign that was like JKIFO, Jason Derulo.
Oh, he was there last night at the Taylor Swift at the Cats
premiere. Oh, wow. Is he in the, he's in the
movie, he was really good. Yeah, he was.
He's really good.
He was awesome. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to say. Sometimes like you have an association with an artist and they're honestly different. I don't know if you've seen the videos of T-Pain singing like normally.
He's incredible.
He's an unbelievable singer.
Yeah.
And or the same thing happened to me with Harry Styles. It's a little different, but I remember like thinking like, I can never like Harry Styles, like One Direction, like not for me.
Same.
I listened to his new album and I was like,
same.
This man is Elton.
Very
like,
talented.
He's Elton John. He's Paul McCartney. Like I was just so shook. So everyone honestly should listen to that album.
You know what
it
I
is
also
so good.
Hate?
What?
Like we're really just going into the banter right now, but I don't like when people are like, don't compare Harry Styles to Paul McCartney. It's like when Paul McCartney started, people probably didn't know what a legend he was going to become. So like, you know, give the new generations the ability to thrive if they have talent. Like you don't need to be like, they'll never be that kind of legend. It's like, just because they're young now doesn't mean that you know what kind of talent they're going to show you over the years. And maybe when they're in their 70s, we're going to be like, wow, Harry Styles was a legend. I don't know, because I'm not even a Harry Styles fan. But like, I don't like when people are like, oh, Gen Z or like millennials, they can never be compared to the legends. It's like, those people weren't legends with their first album.
I
mean, maybe they were,
Sarah, when the Beatles released their first album, it was I Want to Hold Your Hand, Love Me Do, like literally the most simple songs
right.
that now people make fun of all the time. Like the One Direction with What Makes You Beautiful, like they would just make fun of that. And it's like the Beatles' first album was made to be hit, like hits
yeah.
so that they would be played on the radio. They were so simple.
Right.
And now we reflect on those, on that music with like, wow, that was an era of the Beatles and it was iconic. Like I Want to Hold Your Hand is an iconic song.
Iconic.
And
also the fandom was so intense that it blew them up and made yep. them so big.
Yep.
And of course that fandom is what led people to being like the Beatles are like sensational, like we've never seen anything like it.
Exactly.
That's all, it's all part of the story. If they didn't have the fan base that they had, and people, like I don't know if people to this day would be like, they're legendary. I don't know. I hope that people that are like huge Beatles fans aren't gonna like hate on this right
no,
now.
No, they won't. And even my dad, who sometimes rags on the music that I love, is a big Beatles fan, and he's like, that's what he has said to me. Like when he makes fun of my pop music, like we joke because he's like, I guess the Beatles' first album was like even more poppy than this.
Right.
And also, not to go on a whole other tangent, but I'll make it quick. Like I really try to no longer like say bad things about other people's taste in music, because I absolutely hate it when people make fun of like the things that I like and how I like Taylor Swift and I like the like music that's very mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
I just find it really rude, and the only person I like really make fun of is Chris, because sometimes the music that he likes is funny, but I
just hate when people are like, that's, you only listen to top 40, so what's your problem? Well, first of all, I don't. That's literally couldn't be further from the truth.
But even if I did,
what's, I do love top 40 music. I enjoy it. There's a reason why it's in the top 40, because also, so many like, people enjoy it.
100%. And you get to go out to bars and like know the music. Like I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. There, I actually love knowing the top 40 music, because then when I go out, I'm like, oh yeah, like I know
right.
this song.
But you're more likely to have a better night at a bar when you know every song and you're able to be like, love this song.
Completely agree. And I also used to be one of the people who would like laugh at people who liked country music, because I was like, it's so simple and they're all talking about beer all the time. And right. now I love it, and I think A, it's so much more than that, and B, even the songs about beer, I'm like, this is fun. I yeah. love talking about beer. Like, it's great.
And also with country music, I don't know why people make fun of it as much as they do, because have you ever been to a country concert? It's a blast.
No, they're so much fun.
They're literally so much fun. Like, you're just in a green field with, like, you know, everyone's drinking beer and it's fun, and no one cares about, like, every concert brings a different vibe,
totally.
But a country vibe, especially in the summer, is just so fun and lighthearted, and like, it's just a good time. And like, if people can enjoy that, then there's no reason to make fun of it, you know?
100%. All right. So I have,
wow, I could really talk about this for days.
I have two more DMs. Let's read one. So it says, one way music has helped me is by having something to bond with friends about.
There you go.
Music is definitely a great way to connect with other people who have the same interests. Totally agree. Sarah and I have connected about a number of artists. Another way it helped me is by having concerts to look forward to. Relatable. I didn't have a job for a while after I graduated college, and during that time I felt so uncomfortable not knowing what I would be doing or where I would be in the next weeks, months, years. I felt like my life had no structure because I was only planning things day by day. But having a Jonas Brothers concert on my calendar weeks and months before helped me feel better by having at least something planned where I knew I would have a good time. Thank you, Lizzie. Could have written that myself. Sarah could have written that herself too.
Wow.
Yeah, we always talk about how we like having concerts on our calendar to have something to look forward to. It's like
they
the main thing.
They truly are. Like, I'm so glad that that's part of our friendship. I think
Agreed.
That's part of the reason why we're such great friends, is because we enjoy concerts so much. And like, when you're at a show and you're just like belting the words to the songs, and you know every word, and you, one song makes you happy, one song makes you think of this other time, and like the Kacey Musgraves show, like it was amazing.
You went to two shows of hers.
I did, but the one we were at together, like we bonded. We were like, there were some songs where we were like looking at each other and smiling and hugging and singing together. There were some songs where we were feeling it individually for our own reasons.
Right.
And it's just, concerts are so incredible. They're such great ways of bringing people together, and also like enjoying, like being able to hear the songs that you might have listened to in like a sad time or happy time, but like listening to it live is just, such an incredible experience.
I would really encourage people to go. And I'm not saying like you can just do it whatever. Like I know it costs money and we know it costs money and we like struggle to try and figure out how to do it. But I remember like in middle and high school, I didn't go to very many concerts because I wasn't like my thing was Kanye. Like I couldn't really go to concerts with my parents. And you started from an early age because your parents are such like concert heads and you love Jonas Brothers. But like I guess when I was in high school and college, like I didn't realize that going to concerts was really a thing. And I didn't go to very many except for like sometimes with friends. But now I'm like, when I like an artist, I want to see them because it just, and you don't have to, like Sarah and I can be a little cuckoo when it comes to like wanting to be really close because we also love celebrities in general, but you can go and get like general admission seats to shows. Totally. If you want to get there early and go up close to the stage, like you can totally do it. And it's just like, I don't know. I just really encourage people to do it. Right. Like it just just captures a moment in time too. Like you'll be able to reflect to your kids or to your family. Like I remember when I went to that concert.
Right. You know? And also like, there are so many ways around it. Like people are like, how do you have all this money to go to all these shows? Like if I actually listed out every show that I've been to, like you would be surprised. Like half of the times I saw the Jonas Brothers last year, I mean, this is one of the upsides of living in New York City. I think for both, we can both say that.
Totally.
But like, you know, New York City can be a really, really tough place to live. But some of the positives of New York is like, people always perform here.
Yep.
And like, it's not that hard to see your favorite artists here. No. It's just not. And like, the Jonas Brothers, like, within the first 6 months of their reunion, they were doing free concerts all the time. I saw them at Webster Hall for free. I saw them Spotify show for free. Went to the Pandora show for free. People were like, how are you affording all of this? I was like, first of all, there's contests online. There's One Iota. There's so many different ways. All you had to do to go to the Spotify show was listen to them on Spotify. And then Spotify emailed you, we noticed that you like the Jonas Brothers. Come to our show. Like, or actually, that may have been for the Pandora one, but regardless, it was like, you know, there are ways around it. And I know that we're so lucky we live in New York that we live in New York, so a lot of our favorite artists come here a lot.
Totally.
But there are ways around it. It doesn't have to be front row, the most expensive tickets of the month. I actually can't afford those tickets.
No, I wish I could.
I wish I could. But there's ways around it. And if you ever need advice or help on like how to go to your favorite concert, I mean, your favorite artist's show, like we would love to help you out because we're like really good at it.
We really are.
Like,
we went to see Maren Morris. Those tickets were like $40 and we just got there an hour early and like stood in the front and we were so close to her and it was so awesome.
Oh, also, if it's general admission, like I don't care what the deal is. Like you best believe I'm going to be in the front row.
Yeah,
like,
same.
I don't really because care.
All right, last one. This is a good one. This is from another Lizzie. A few years ago, I was really struggling with the sudden and unexpected death of one of my cousins. Not long after, I discovered a song called The Sun Is Rising by Brit Nicole. It really helped me through that hard time. Since then, when I'm going through a low point or my mental health feels like it's crumbling, I will listen to that song and it reminds me that no matter how dark it may seem in that moment, the sun will always rise again. I'm even thinking of getting a sunrise tattoo on my forearm as a constant reminder of that. Also, Rainbow by Casey is another song that gets me through tough times. Love that.
That's beautiful.
I mean, music is so meaningful to so many people. So many people get like tattoos of lyrics and stuff that get them through. And I'm not, I don't have tattoos, but I'm a big proponent of that because I think it can serve as a reminder of like what music can do. And it can help connect you to artists. Artists are always like reposting when people get their tattoos. Mm-hmm. And Sarah and I know better than anyone. We're always trying to get artists to repost us.
Oh, yeah, we're like so thirsty.
I love that. And sometimes life is going to have very challenging moments and music will always be there. And the same artists that we love when we weren't going through tough moments will be there. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing about music. Mm-hmm. You can always reconnect to it.
And it's nice because new music is always coming out.
Always.
It's There's not no going shortage. Anywhere. It's literally never going anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We could be out of, God forbid, water, food, whatever. You just have to be like,
music is as old as time.
Time. Tale as old as time.
I don't know what that accent was, but it was nice.
That's what she does in the movie. She's like, tale as old as you're right. time. She's like a little old woman.
You're right. And then John Legend with true as it. You know how he sounds?
John Legend is in that movie?
No, but he sings the with Ariana Grande, the Beauty and the Beast from the new.
I meant the new one. Yeah. I didn't mean the one that came out in the 90s or whenever it came out. Or actually that.
Tale. He has that like, tale as old as time.
Oh, you know what I also think is really cool? I just want to add this in. It's kind of random. And like, I don't know if it even relates. Who can relate?
Who can relate?
But I don't know if y'all have seen the video of Maggie Rogers getting discovered by Pharrell. It's such an iconic video because she's just doing her senior like capstone project. And it was like, make a song. And then John Legend is going to come into our class and literally rate and like give you all feedback. Mm-hmm. And he listened to Maggie's song and he was just blown away. And he was like, this is perfect.
Pharrell did, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you said John Legend.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. At first you said Pharrell. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I meant Pharrell was just blown away. I said that because you said.
I know.
Yeah. And Pharrell was just completely blown away by her music. And he was like, I have no changes. Here's my business card. Like, let's do something. And now she's huge.
Huge.
And it's just beautiful how, like, you don't need to be, like, rich or, like, I mean, of course she was given. Rich. Of course she was given opportunities to even be in that room in that. In that school, there's no denying that, but like there are people that come from nothing who just have a talent, and that's also what I love about music is that like really anyone can make music.
Agreed. I also love that nowadays there's genres are totally changing. Like I wouldn't know how to classify Lizzo, but like how
it's like
you,
motivational
like R&B pop, like she raps a little, like, yeah, I don't know.
Ooh, child, tired, yeah, of the. Yeah.
Gone, dusty, shot us up. Okay. So, wow. I really, we couldn't, I mean, I foresee us doing this podcast for like millions of years. So we can easily do music part two in like the next quarter.
To be honest, like, do you guys want a part two? Do you all want a part two?
How would you feel about a part two? Let us know.
How would you feel? Because I could definitely keep talking. Like, I know we got to go, but like, I could keep going.
I could keep going. I want to share my playlist that I made called Get Well Soon.
Yeah, Liz makes really great playlists.
Thank you.
Including, that's really part of the reason I got into Kanye's old music was because of you.
Oh, Ye Essentials. I need to change the playlist to actually be Ye Essentials and not Ye Essentials, but I just want people to like know what they're listening to.
Or if you want to come to one of my yoga classes, I have my playlist on Spotify and it's called Sarah's C1, and people come up to me all the time after class and they're like, loved your music. And yeah. I'm like, thank you. Oh, Ben Platt. Okay, sorry.
I love Ben Platt.
No, same. No, same. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Sponsor us.
He's like, what? He's like, waving through a window.
Okay, so with that. No, that song destroys me.
How does Rain go?
You keep saying. Is that the same song?
Yeah.
You've been hearing this before.
Oh, you down your peace and down in the mind.
And up to you and left you.
And not hoping and hoping and man up in the
letter. I really wish we could end the show with a song, but we can't. So don't forget to follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. Please share the podcast, subscribe, rate and review. The more you subscribe, rate and review, the more other people can find out about our podcast. Yeah, that's how the algorithm
works.
That's
a really great PSA that I know we have to go, but I just want to throw it in. I know we talk about this, but like we really, really just want to help more people with their mental health. Like,
yeah.
Clearly, like we obviously vent about our jobs and stuff, but like this isn't about the money. This is really like we want mental health to be more of a conversation that people have. We want it to be destigmatized. Is that even a word? I don't know. We want to destigmatize mental health. And in order to do so, we need your help in spreading the word about this podcast. So, you know, please tell your friends, please subscribe, leave us comments, reviews, whatever, share our memes that we make on Instagram.
We make good memes.
And by make,
we repost. We source good memes.
It's hard to find those
memes. It's hard, but we always credit the people. And if it's a tweet, we keep their name in the tweet. But you can follow me at Liz Height.
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone.
That's N like Nancy.
Thank you.
And
with that, we haven't done this in a while.
I know.
Were you thinking about that too?
Yeah, because I was like, what do we say?
What do we do now? And with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.
Bye.